Thank you. And
where's this white one?
Yeah. I'm using the L word in order. It's a naked money grab. I want to thank the organizers for asking me to speak. I tried to get out of giving this talk. Several times I just flatly refused, but in the end they talked me into it. I also want to thank them for putting me right after the banquet. You know, I do this a lot. And I can't decide whether it's because I have enough energy to get it, people going after the banquet, or whether I just, you know, they can just sort of, I won't disturb anybody while they're sleeping off their hangover, but that's the, this is a fabulous place, isn't it, this Fields Institute. I mean, it's really, it really works well, and it's great to be here. All right, the purpose of this talk is to take you into the one of the outer bubbles of this diagram that Mike wrote down yesterday that started with, you know, here he had, you know, MU star or, you know, MU Cabordism or something. And then many bubbles later, he had Langlands. And the purpose of this talk is to sort of at least go into that bubble. I don't know how far or to what any extent that, well, we'll see. I wish this wasn't being recorded. I'd like to claim I was out of town that day when this talk was given, but that's all right. Since, you know, it's great to, many people have mentioned Jack and his you know, his kindness and his generosity and his enthusiasm and his energy, but he also works really, really hard. As any of you know, you've sent off an email at 12:30, you finally think you've gotten rid of Jack, but when you look in the morning, there's one dated at 1:15 that's returned to you. And that's the, so Mike was quoting Andy Warhol, so I'm going to quote another artist. Which is, Jack has given us many inspiring things, but he's also worked extremely hard to get there. And that's the, okay, so let me start by with, let's give an impressionistic overview of local Langlands. I'll try to give a much more precise statement later, but I have to introduce a lot of notation and stuff. So let's begin with one of our favorite objects. This is going to be a height-end formal group law over some field, and let's over some field K, and let's not stress ourselves out too much. Let's make sure it has enough roots of unity, but is not too large. Then let's see. We have the endomorphisms of gamma. This is a very well-known ring. It's Witt vectors on. We can explicitly identify this thing. The reason this is a joint variable and it doesn't commute with the elements of the Witt vectors, it's you have to conjugate by the Frobenius. And inside of here, nobody's actually used this word, so the automorphisms of this person, this formal group law, this is the Morava stabilizer group. And it's one of our favorite objects. I should mention, you can also invert P. I guess there's a P here, yes, a prime. This is known as BN. This is just the definition. And this is a division algebra with center WK, tensor QP or something, and height 1 over N, invariant 1 over N. That's one of the actors. And I'm going to assume that you'd like to study this object. another actor is the general linear group of W. Let's just call this vectors. And that's contained in, let's call this object K, GLN K. And this is a favorite group of everybody, right? That's the general linear group. This is one of the first groups you ever learn about. Maybe not over the Witt vectors, but that's okay. And if you're a number theorist, here's your one of your favorite groups is this guy. Take the Galois group of the algebraic closure of this thing. That maps down to the Galois group of this. Inside of this, you have the Frobenius elements. And the pullback is called the Weyl group. So this is a pullback. Sometimes the Weyl-Dulin group, let's just call it. So, for example, the abelianization of this thing by class field theory. It's equal to the units in a K star. That was the, if you remember, Mike had class field theory here, you know, on the way to the bubble. And you go, and he made some crack about that was wimpy to abelianize, so why not go to Langlands? And that's the, this is where the connections of this. So the representations of this group even are quite interesting, but Langlands wants to talk about representations of this group. So let me put down a picture. We, of course, the homotopy theorists want to take representations of this group, and that's the Morava module. So let me just put down a schematic picture here, the representations of WK. Now, unfortunately, I'll say something. This is over QL. So that's the local field where L is not equal to P. And we have the representations of GLN, okay. Up here we have the representations of all over QL, of BN cross. And there's very specific dictionaries for going past and back and forth. This is called Jacquet-Langlands. And the authors that go, I'll write something here in a second about what this means. The authors that go with this are, I don't know if I want to write all this out, but Rogowski in the Duke Journal in 83, and then later on, Berenstein, Dillin, Kajdan, Vigneros. I think I'm reading off these names just to tell you the amount of talent that's gone into studying these kinds of things. Right? That's the, yeah. And, this is the stuff that's already done. And this is the Langlands correspondence. Now, later on, I'm going to give a much more concrete statement of what's going on here. Langlands, of course, inspired the program, proved some basic cases. Cariol did the case n equals 2. N equals 1 is basically Lubin-Tate theory. And the higher cases were done by Harris and Taylor, fulfilling a program of Dillin's, basically. And that's this thick book you'll see on Jack's desk upstairs. It's called The Cohomology of Some Simple Chamorro Varieties. And I don't know. This book is... I don't know what's simple about this. So, but the point, anything that's called Langlands, that there's always a bigger thing. So there's another group here. Is representations of another group, which I'm going to define in a minute, of a group AKN. And the correspondences always go by passing through this other group. That's the R. Now, I mean to write here that these correspondences, both the Jacquet-Langlands and the Langlands correspondence, are very explicit. irreducible representations. I'm being a little vague here, but that's all right. And then they're characterized by the behavior on characters and tensor products. The N is built into Now, all of these things have topologies, and I'm leaving out, I mean, there's some words you have to put in front of all these things to take care of the topologies. I'm leaving that out for now. Okay. So these are their topological correspondence. And what else? Probably other things. Now, from the point of view of homotopy theorists, this kind of theorem is not something we can immediately take off to our favorite project and use, right? Because it's rational information, it's away from the prime. We want torsion information at the prime, okay? So we could stop here if you like, but Langlands is a way of life as much as anything else. So I mean, the answer is almost certainly yes, right? But that's, you know. But the point of today's lecture is to say that the machinery that the math that's behind this is very familiar to us, and we use it too. And I'd like to explore that a little bit and see how see what the connections and how we can work that out. Okay. So far so good. Either complex or over QL bar, actually. Sorry. Okay, so the other part of my title had Morava modules in it, so let's talk about Morava modules. And Lubin-Tate space. So many in several talks we've talked about the this is the universal deformation. Of gamma k. So this is this ring. This power series. This is a non-canonical choice, by the way. So this is the universal deformation means that, what's a deformation anyway? So let me just draw the same picture everything else has. If R is complete local, and I have a K into R mod M, then a deformation is something like, this is the same. So here's the, and if you put in, this is R mod M here, put in K, then this gives, here's gamma, and you're supposed to have an explicit, that's supposed to be the identity there. K, this is supposed to be the big K. Okay. Sorry. Does that help? All right. So associated to this is this Morava E theory. This is the cohomology theory with there's an N in here, which I'm not going to keep writing down. I'll write it down now, but it's a periodic version of this thing, where the degree of U is equal to plus or minus 2, depending on the algebraic geometry of U bring to this thing. Then the bigger Morava stabilizer group, which is the automorphisms of the pair, which is the Galois group of K over FP, semi-direct product, this ON star, acts on this situation. And it does more than that. Now, I'm going to be glib about left and right. You have to work all that out if you want to. But there's a basic cohomology theory which goes through this, which I might as well write down. You'd think it would just be this, but it isn't. It's the homotopy groups of the LK and localization of the associated spectrum. This is done, why do we do that? So that we do it for a lot of reasons. This kind of localization, in fact, acts as a completion on the non-localized bit, and we all know that complete modules are much better than just regular modules. So that's certainly one better. But in this calculation, E star E is actually equal to the space of continuous maps from GN into E star. So we get the following observation. So E star X is a Morava module. Which means, so here's the definition, it has, it's a continuous E star module with a continuous GN action. It's twisted in the sense that if A is an element of E star and X is an element of E star X, well, let's call it Y, G of AX. So they're not linear. This action isn't E star linear. It's and there's a continuity condition. Not every continuous G can arise this way. So one way to say it is that if I tensor down over this ring RK gamma with E star X, the action is discrete. So for example, the profinite group ring E star GN, that's not a Morava module. Just to make your confusion specific. GN, well, it's over here. So what's this object? This is just the automorphisms of gamma, of my favorite Haydn formal group law, provided I have enough roots of unity around, so I get sort of all of them. Okay. Now let's see. There's a better way to say this, or another way to say this, a more confusing way to say this. If we let XLT, the Lubin-Tate space, this is the formal scheme associated to RK gamma, then this has an action of GN, and the Morava modules are in one-to-one correspondence, that they're just equivalent categories to, let me just say, quasi-coherent equivariant sheaves. On XLT. So one we want to study. These are our basic objects, right? Remember, if we like this chromatic convergence picture, then let's just go back here, then LKN of X is sort of the basic building blocks, and there's a Adams-Novikov spectral sequence that goes, I'm going to be a little bit glib about convergence. There's an Adams-Novikov spectral sequence of this form. So studying these objects and their actions of GN is really a basic project for us in that style. All right. Now at this point, I'm going to spend the rest of the talk talking about this object and its ramifications. And there's two ways to study it. I'm going to choose one which is a little more conceptual, but there is the that, I mean it, right? In all senses of the word. that's a, you know, number theorists, that's the point, right? They're looking at highly ramified number fields, and that's still the, so I wanted to make some remark here. Let me just write Gross-Hopkins. Still one of the best theorems we have about quasi-coherent sheaves on this object is the identification of the top exterior power of the cotangent bundle. And that's a line bundle, and Gross and Hopkins explicitly identify this, and it's still one of our best theorems. They concentrate on this thing as a rigid analytic space, and I'm not going to mention those words again. It's possible to phrase Langlands both in terms of rigid analytic spaces and in terms of the kinds of things I'm going to do. And there's a recent paper by Faltings, which says that the two points of view are essentially equivalent. This is something that was left open by people like Carryall and things like that. Anything else I should say at this point, Jack?
Is that the Faltings
paper in conference in honor of Parshian or Larkin? Well, I mean, it's on his webpage. That's the only place I can. It's supposed to be in some St. Petersburg thing, and I don't. It's actually quite, in the paper itself, I've actually got it here, I can, because I'm never going to find it, but this paper actually, it's on some two points of view of Drinfeld or something is the title, and at the last two pages of this are actually a relatively nice summary of the whole problem, of some of the problems here, so that's, it's a good paper to look at. Okay. Let's talk about, I want to get to this group A, A and K. So I have to talk about covers of XLT. Now these aren't a new idea for us. Well, I don't know. People like Matt have thought about this quite a bit, and certainly Gross-Hopkins, they appear there. So I've got my, I want to talk about various covers XN to XLT. That's going to be my notation. So I've got this universal deformation. G to P over K. And I can do the following. I can take the pth power map. It's an abelian group, so I just take p to the k to itself in some category. And let's let g of k, this is the kernel, in the appropriate category. Right? Now let's see. It's a fairly easy theorem that this is essentially isomorphic to zp to the k. N. So here's the picture. Of course, that's not a discrete set, right? We're in some category of abelian groups in some algebraic geometry settings. You have to be a little careful about what that symbol means. Let me draw a picture. So here's this deformation over this base space. Yeah, I just use a general R, right? And here's some G prime or H. So the kernel lies in here somehow. I'll draw the case. Now they can double up, right? That's the so here's the so it's discrete from the point of view of this, meaning that it's a bunch of points over this object here. So that's why I drew it like lines. Now, so what's a level structure? So that leads me to... so you have to be a little careful about how you define these things, but for today, let's just say that a level structure is a... is a choice of isomorphism, is a fixed isomorphism. Okay. Now, of course, you can, the kernel of, if I get this in the right order, this is contained in here, so you can talk about varying K as well. And in fact, I mean, what the heck, go all the way to infinity. And then, so this is a height n level structure at height k. And this is, let's call it a full level structure. Now, the theorem of Drinfeld is that this guy is representable. So, category of pairs, G, well, G prime I was calling it. I lost my prime. Plus level, height n level structure, level K structures. That's representable. It's the... so I just call it DK today. This is Drinfeld's big upper. And as a result, we get a tower of covers. In fact, let me just, so XLT is equal to X0. We've got X1, X2, up to X infinity. These are, in fact, let's put X in here. These are, in fact, Galois. Or eight. This is a Galois cover. And the Galois group is, I guess at some point I'm going to have to, I should have said this earlier. But so at some point I should have said I'm specializing down to the case where K is QP. Because otherwise I have to talk about not just formal groups, but formal O modules, and I don't want to get into that today. So that's fine.
Doing that arrow there, subscript will catch
K. Yeah. The N is this height that's floating around, and the K is. I think it's fairly clear this group acts, right, just by permuting the isomorphism, right? And the theorem is that that's the whole, that's all there is, and it's a Galois action. Now, that's nice, but you should be aware that this ring, I don't think anybody knows what it is. I mean, maybe the case k equals 1, we could figure out what it is. Remember, this RK gamma was this nice power series ring, right? But this ring itself is, unless Matt has secret information he's not telling me, after k equals 2 or so, I... okay. Yeah. It certainly isn't anything, you know, like a affine disc or something. But in any case, I should have said that a lot earlier. You know, I should have straightened that out before, if you're not talking about QP, you have to start talking about not just formal groups, but formal O modules, where O is the ring of integers in the field. Okay, and No. You can take the Honda formal group law or something. I'd like to leave this point impressionistic. just so I don't get involved. There's a lot of technicalities which I'm not. Right. In general, I would have to replace this thing by, I don't want to get involved in this, but I would have to take this, the ring of integers modulo p to the k instead, where there's just always the ring of integers in the field, I mean, local field I'm interested in. All right. I should say right away that because this is Galois, the map, you get a map from this E star to DK star. This is not only, in particular, it's flat, so there's a homology theory here, right? That's the, so you get a new homology theory. This is flat. So it's DK star. DK tensor over this RK gamma E star X. But there's really no new information here, because if you compute this thing, you can get back to E star just by taking Galois invariance. So there's no, it's essentially has the same homotopy information, but it does have a richer action already. It's got the action of the Galois of this general linear group. All right. Okay, so now I want to talk about action. Thanks, infinity. So let's see. Let's let this stand for, I guess it goes into the rationals. This is p-adic evaluation. And let's normalize it so the evaluation p is equal to 1. So that means that valuation of x is bigger than 0, implies x is an element. So this gives a whole bunch of, I have my three players here, these three groups. I can certainly take the determinant to Q cross, and then I can take this valuation. So we should call that something. How about new GLN? Oops, we're going to need that picture in a minute. I can also do BN cross, or something called the reduced norm. I won't define it. To QP cross. And again, I can take Q. Let's call this new B. And similarly, there's something for the Weyl group. So let's call that. So now I'm going to define a subgroup A, which is maybe AN. Where is this thing? It's in GLN Q QP cross BN cross. K, I guess, now is QP. And it's the GB sigma such that some cool formula holds the nu of GLN. Turns out to be a subgroup. And the observation, I don't know who it's due to. Well, it certainly smells like Deline, is that ANX on, this is the group I introduced, I talked about at the beginning, ANX on X infinity. And hence on sheaves in X infinity. That's good business, right? We're interested in sheaves on this thing, but we can, you know, by faithfully flat descent, that's equivalent to discussing some kinds of sheaves on this thing. So that's the, but we've enriched the action. Let me try to give you an example of why this might be, there might be something going on here. This is the kind of thing used exactly by Matt. Suppose I have a, instead of going all the way up to GLN, suppose I have a matrix in n by n matrices of ZP. And suppose I have phi, which is actually an endomorphism, gamma. And let's assume that this formula here is true, is equal to the, I'm not going to say what that means, but let's look at, so G defines a map, or by dualization, G defines a map from this object to itself. And let's call this number something. And the order, the kernel of G is equal to P to the S. So let's see if I can do this. So I've got, if I take a level structure into my favorite thing, gee, I've got this K here, let's call this K. That's bad. You know, that would destroy my linear algebra students, but can you guys take it? That's the, okay, so I can quotient out by this, and that's still a copy of ZP infinity to the n. But I can put that here, too. Take this group, G mod K, and I get a new formal group. So the picture that goes with this is that I've got this object here, this deformation, and I've got this K inside here, which, by the way, can bunch up, and maybe I should give myself more room for this picture. If I take, here's my G, and I've got this K inside it. Maybe it doubles up when it hits the primer. Here's K. I'm just going to collapse that all. Here's E, right? I'm going to collapse that all down to E. Here's G mod K. This is all over this SPF of R. That. And inside here, I've got this special fiber. This is this gamma that's mapping in here. Now, to give a level structure, I have to also tell you how to put gamma back into this one. Okay. Well, let's call this. So this is I star G. And the picture I've got is, I haven't used this object yet. So I've got gamma, I've got that mapping to I star G, I've got this map to I star G mod K, and I've got V to gamma. And this requirement here is exactly what's needed to fill this in. So there exists a unique ISO filling this in. Exactly because of this statement. Okay. All right, so that goes back here. All right, so I've done the case GB1. I've given you something to go home and take and look at, say, Cariel's papers. So I've done GB1, and I've tried to indicate how this condition comes in here. The case of G1 sigma is done similarly. You get a new deformation this way with a new level structure, and then you use the fact that you're in the Weyl group to twist here by some power of the Frobenius. And that's exactly how that fills in. All right, so you may not have understood that. You may not care. I care, so there. What I'd like you to take away from this section is the fact that there is this group which contains all three of, it's a subgroup of all three of the players. Okay, that's the some rich one. So now let me try to give you let's leave A in there for a minute. I'll try to give you a more precise statement of Langlands. I hope also you took away from this that this X infinity is something that homotopy theorists might actually be interested in fact have been interested in, and this is a group that, you know, might be useful for us. Okay, so let's see, I've got this X infinity, which is this over this Lubin-Tate space. Inside of here I have the what happens when I reduce mod to maxwell ideal. So this is over some big ring, so let's call that the special fiber. So tensor down over the field that I'm, which is probably FP or something. Now inside of here, I can take the generic fiber, which I probably should have a K there, but I won't. And it turns out a useful thing to do is actually to extend to the algebraic closure. Let's call this map beta. Okay, and now at this point I want to form a sheaf on this object, which is called the derived nearby cycles. I'm going to write down a definition, but maybe I'll draw a picture too. Once again, the French have a much better word than we do. It's called evanescent in French. Just this idea that just these floating ghosts around. So the actual definition of this thing is, there's one that's derived, so there's one for each Q. Here's the What's that? Ghostbusters, yeah. So here's the formula. Let's see, what's I? I is this guy, right? And I want to take the, this is the constant sheaf or the constructible sheaf on that particular vector space. What are these things? These are the nearby cycles. The thing that go back to Lefschetz in the 20s, it's Deligne who brought it into all of algebraic geometry. See if I can draw a picture. The idea is somehow, maybe I'll expand my picture a little bit, is you've got some point, the special point here, and you've got some, you know, the stalks of some sheaf up above, and you want to start taking global sections. And you can imagine global sections which are defined on the, except at the bad point. Maybe I should go back to my, you can imagine something that goes along here but can't be continued through the special point. And you've got, if you look nearby, you might get cycles which are, which may be nothing by the time you get to there, but there's still something that's occurring nearby the special point. It's probably better to draw the classic Lefschetz picture is to look at something like this, where you've got a singularity and you're looking at this. And this guy here is the.
Actually, I've been studying Frank Ray Picard for the course I'm giving, and they used it extensively in the 1900s.
Even back then,
yeah.
That's a very classical idea, and it's actually a very beautiful one. That's
the.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, he essentially used what we now call the Leray spectral sequence to sort of put together a homology of these singular things over bases using this idea. All right, fabulous. What sheet am I on here? Yes. But whatever this thing is, or rather, it's got this A in action. Okay, so here's a theorem, more or less correctly stated. So I should, in the Frank Adams used to call these pre-theorems, meaning I'm leading out hypotheses and some technicalities which have to be supplied to make an actual true statement. So if rho is an irreducible BN cross representation, finite dimensional over QL, probably QL bar. Then I can do this. Yeah. And what do I got? Well, there's a formula. I should give myself more room, but I'm not going to. Since I have to determine it. And this has a sign on it, minus 2. That's, first thing they teach you in TA school is not to do that, so I won't. JL rho. Since this is the main theorem of the talk. What are these things? I'm going to ignore the clock at the back of the room because I'm told it's 5 minutes fast. But I'll finish on time on my own watch here. So, JL is this Jacques A. Langlands correspondence. It's an embedding from the irreducible representations over this guy into irreducibles over GLN of whatever I've got here, QP, I guess in this case. This is the Jacques A. Langlands. The image is known and important image. I won't define it because I don't understand it. It's the essentially square integrable. No, I must have been scared as a baby by analysis or something. When somebody says something like that, I just freeze up, right? So that's the and this wreck, this is the Langlands correspondence. Goes to certain semi-simple irreducibles representations of WK, also with known image. Rec goes from, is that better? At least the parentheses are closed up now. Close up the parentheses. Anybody else? Has anybody tried to read my papers? No. I'm not very good at proofreading. So. Let's see. This also has known image, which I won't even say the words because I couldn't do it without giggling. But again, they're both characterized by various special parts. I mean, by what happens on characters, and there's all this other cool stuff. I mean, they're very heavily studied. I should remark that this is all over this QL, right? These are over QL. There is this work which I haven't been able to find by this guy by the name of Boyer, who's a student of somebody's in France, who's supposedly studied the P local situation. Where P, this L is not equal to P, right? And I think at this point, I mean, what should homotopy theory should be going out and trying to study this thing, replace it by Z mod P to the K, right? See what happens. Work at the prime. That's the torsion at the prime. All right, so this is a cool formula. And it encodes all at once all these different correspondences. That's the of course, the number theory is like this one, but notice the basic objects of these irreducibles over this thing that we really like. And that's the, let me finish by talking about how do they. So this is a theorem proved in the end by Harris and Taylor. In this. And what's their basic idea? Well, I want to throw this in because it seems that by thinking about these things and putting together this new work of Jacob Lurie, we might get whole new families of pretty interesting homology theories. So let's talk about, just briefly, about Shimura varieties. So, Shimura variety is not a variety unless you put in enough assumptions. It's a scheme. It's a projective scheme. And this classifies abelian varieties A over spec R. Let's see, the dimension, since I've dimension is n squared, or more generally, dn squared, where d is the degree of the extension of the fields I'm interested in. And with a long list of conditions, which, with many conditions, which I won't write down, I'll try to emphasize the important ones. You need to put conditions on to make it representable. So there's this polarization condition, level structures. This even happens with elliptic curves, right? If you just talk about elliptic curves, you only have a moduli stack. But if you stick in a level structure, it's actually representable by a scheme. And that's the elliptic curves are an example of such a thing. And finally, there's this important condition that says something about, well, it's an abelian variety, so it has a tangent space at the origin, which you might as well call Lie A. And you put on a lot of conditions so that when you complete it appropriately, This contains a natural and canonical one-dimensional subman. And this implies, so this is dimension n squared, right? Because of this. So this is, you've really done. So looking through various versions of Harris and Taylor, this list of conditions has changed, right? They've actually sort of fussed around with what the actual definition is. So I think Kariel's Borba Key talk on these things is the most understandable version of this. But this this last thing, which I call star, implies that if p to the n equals 0 in R for some n, then the p torsion in this thing, this is the p torsion, contains a really, this is a dimension 1 height, it's either n or n minus 1, let's pretend it's n, infinitesimal ring. And the infinitesimal part is dimension 1. This comes from the deformation theory of this kind of thing. It's governed by this group. This is the so-called Barsotti tape group, which, although I couldn't find it in Jacob's notes, was surely there in his talk somewhere. So let's see. What does that give you? Just to give you a thought to end on. So this gives you, let's take Esch. So this is the neighborhood of the special fiber or something, formal neighborhood of the special fiber. This gives you a map to the moduli stack of formal groups, which sends A to this GA, or the maybe the best thing to do would be to take this the formal part of the infinitesimal part of GA. So that's a formal group of dimension, smooth dimension 1 by all this. Now, if I understand the theory correctly, this can be extended a little bit into some open. Anybody can correct me at this point. This extends a little bit into some open neighborhood of this. So, provided, say, this was flat or something, which it probably is, we would get, say, by Landweber exactness, a whole new family of homology theories, right? That's the lot of this. What heights do you get? Well, that was the Harris-Taylor observation. If you take these, the height filtration in MFG that Mark wrote down, you've got height n here. And it turns out, let me just stick to the closed part because it's the part I understand. This map factors this way. And you get a filtration of this object. Like such, just by pullbacks. And let's see, the important one here, if you take SHN bar, this is exactly similar to the, for those of you who studied elliptic curves case, in this case n is 2, and if you do this, you take this minus the next one, this is finite. And they're all Lubin tape deformations. I'm being impressionistic again. So the XLT somehow lies between these two, and this is over that. Okay. Harris and Taylor proceed by an induction argument from the bottom, where height one we always seem to be able to do, and they work their way up to here, and that's how they prove this theorem. Okay. This kind of thing we've seen before, this kind of splitting, we've seen before in examples given by Moholy-Nagy and Gorbunov and Moholy-Nagy, and more lately by Doug Ravenel, of formal groups of height of dimension one splitting off the formal completions of something at the origin. This is a much more systematic approach to this. There they use Jacobians of curves. Now let's see. If I understand a conversation I just had with Jacob Lurie, this is exactly the kind of setup, these Bersatti take groups, the whole business is exactly the kind of setup where his machinery might apply. So this we might actually be on the verge of, at Jack's insistence, of finding a lot of new interesting homology theories. Okay, let me stop there.